السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وهل أتاك نبأ الخصم إذ تسوروا المحراب إذ دخلوا على داود ففزع منهم قالوا لا تخف خصمان بغى بعضنا على بعض فاحكم بيننا بالحق ولا تشطط واهدنا إلى سواء الصراط. إن هذا أخي له 99 نعجة ولي نعجة واحدة فقال أكفلنيها وعزني في الخطاب. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has yet again given us such a beautiful opportunity to be present on the occasion of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of seeing many, many more Jumu'ah, and may He make it possible for us to appreciate the day as it ought to be appreciated. Appreciated verbally, appreciated physically, appreciated in the style that we show that enthusiasm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are grateful for this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah that you have given us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible that the day that our life leaves our body is also on the day of Jumu'ah. The topic that I wish to discuss today is a topic that is very, very relevant, and it seems as though there is a flood as far as disputes are concerned, and being more specific, business or financial disputes are concerned. Everywhere you look around, partners who have been in partnership for years and years and years, suddenly over something petty, now they want to dissolve that partnership. They may be shareholders in a company, they may be members in a CC, they may be heirs in an estate, or they may be beneficiaries in a trust. But for years they've been operating together with harmony, with some kind of assistance, with some kind of consideration for the next party. But over something small and petty, there's been a sudden increase in the number of financial disputes that you are getting today. And unfortunately, the way that this, to have a disagreement, this is normal. But to escalate it to a situation where it becomes a dispute, and now that it becomes an acrimonious relationship, there is no more a harmonious relationship between the parties, this is completely un-Islamic. But just to disagree and to have differences of opinion on a matter, that is normal. In fact, there is rahmat and there is barakat in that. But to escalate it, to take it to such an extent where now partners, friends, brothers suddenly have a type of dushmani, a type of hatred for each other, this is not Islamic at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an incident that hal ataka wa hal ataka naba'ul khasm. Did the news reach you, did the information reach you of the two litigants? Is the sawwarul mihrab. Actually what had happened was these two litigants were actually two malaika. They were sent to Dawud alayhi salam, and they were sent to him to ask him some questions. But these were not only restricted. This incident is not restricted to the time of Dawud alayhi salam. The lessons we can take from there, or the lessons are till the end of time. So what had happened is the sawwarul mihrab. So two malaika had come in the form of human beings to Dawud alayhi salam. Is the sawwarul mihrab. What they had done was they had scaled the front wall. In Arabic, the word mihrab originally means the front elevation. The front elevation, the front wall is known as mihrab. Later on, because the mihrab of the masjid now formed the front elevation, so that also took the name of mihrab. So they had come to Dawud alayhi salam in a very extraordinary manner, in a very unusual manner, that you don't normally scale a person's wall and come to see him. And they had come to him in a time that people don't usually come to see a person. So naturally, Dawud alayhi salam feared them. So the ayat of the Quran says, فَفَزِيَ مِنْهُمْ, that he got frightened from them. Now just another point on this, ulama explain that one ayat of the Quran, Allah speaks about Anbiya alayhi salam, that لا يخشون إلا الله, that they don't fear anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it that Dawud alayhi salam got frightened for these two people that had come? When Allah is saying that Anbiya alayhi salam, they don't fear anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Anbiya alayhi salam don't fear anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yeah, he's fearing these two people. The ulama explained there's a difference between khashyat and khuf. Khashyat in Arabic means to fear somebody because of his maqam, because of his position. That this man is the head of SARS, so we fear this person. Or he is the president of the country, so we got fear for him. He's the head of the scorpions, so we fright for this person. That Anbiya alayhi salam never feared for any person. They only feared Allah Pak. They didn't fear any person because of his maqam. But to fright, to fear somebody because of the harm that they can cause, to fear a lion, to fear a scorpion, to fear a snake, to fear a hijacker, this is known as khawf, and this is totally natural. This also affected Anbiya alayhi salam. So it doesn't mean that a person is frightened for something that is harmful. They're like a level, he doesn't have yaqeen or he doesn't have tawakkul. This is something totally separate. So Dawud alayhi salam, fafazi'a minhum, qalu la takhaf. This first thing that these two people had told him was don't fear. Ulama, take out one point from here, is that it is very important and is crucially important. A Muslim at all times, his nigah, his focus is that I mustn't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I mustn't cause any inconvenience to anyone. And when it comes to inconvenience, generally we have restricted it to physical inconvenience, but ulama explained that it means emotional inconvenience, physical inconvenience, psychological inconvenience, any type of mental inconvenience that you're causing a person, this is also known as inconvenience that you're causing a person. So a Muslim doesn't cause any type of inconvenience. So the first thing they are doing is they're trying to explain to Dawud alayhi salam, they don't fear. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, coming out to this point, it was the month of Ramadan and a message had come of a funeral message. A funeral message had come and it was around the time of Sihr. Now when this message had come, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah had told his mutaalliqeen, his friends around him, then don't let this message go home. Because if it goes home, my family had been up the whole night in Ibadat, they won't sleep because of this message, because they would normally take a rest after Fajr. And now it is the time of Sihri, they won't eat also. So they were so careful of how they gave messages. What time the message was delivered also, they were very careful. And don't let this message go now, it is the time of Sihri. Don't let it go even after at Fajr, because they won't be able to sleep. After they sleep and they wake up, they had a nice rest. Now let this message reach them, because now they have eaten, they had the Sihri, they have slept, they have taken rest. Now the message reaches them, it won't inconvenience them in that extra level that it needs to, it doesn't need to inconvenience them. So this is what you call ri'ayah, where a person is careful of not causing any type of inconvenience to anyone. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi would mention one incident, and he would repeatedly mention it, that those people that would hear it from him, they would say that at that time we would wonder why he would mention this incident so many times. But many years later we realize what he is trying to teach us. What he is trying to teach us by this one incident, he said that it was the month of Ramadan in the Khanqah of Hazrat Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, that generally his friends and his mutaalliqeen would come to visit him in the month of Ramadan. And when they would visit him, then he would naturally give them advices and he would explain to them. And where correction needed to be made, he would make the correction. So there was one alim that had come, and he seen an alim sitting in the masjid. Mawlana Tanvi sahab rahmatullahi was there. And he noticed that alim moved his place. So where he was sitting, he came and he sat right next to one person who was either engaged in zikr or dua. So when he sat right next to that person, Mawlana Tanvi sahab rahmatullahi called him. He said, why did you go and sit right next to that person? So he said, Hazrat, I thought to myself that where I was sitting, my back was facing you. So this is a type of bay adbi, a type of disrespect, that such a great personality, I'm facing my back towards you. So Mawlana acknowledged that yes, it was a very good thought of you. He said, but there's so much of place in the masjid. Why didn't you choose another spot? Why did you go and sit right next to that person? So then now he had no answer. So then Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanvi rahmatullahi asked him, do you think that was right of you to come sit right next to him? So after thinking, he says, no, it was not right. He says, why do you think it was not right? So he says, perhaps that person wanted to express some emotion. If it was dua that he's making, maybe he wanted to cry aloud. Maybe there's some words that he wanted to say. But by me sitting right next to him, now he couldn't express those words. So I was causing some type of psychological inconvenience to that person. So now Mawlana Tanvi sahab rahmatullahi said, now you are thinking correct. Now tell me, how should we rectify the situation of you sitting and causing that psychological inconvenience to this person? So he says, Hazrat, what I'll do is all the shoes that are outside, I will straighten them. I'll take the duty of straightening them. So then again he reprimanded. He said, then the people will say that you're a big buzruk. When big buzruk came into this khanka, he's straightening all the shoes. So So he said, okay, what I'll do is I'll clean the gutters, the drains. Those of us, or those people that have been to India will know that the drains in India are not like our drains. The drains in India are always full of dirt, full of mucus, full of muck. It's a very smelly place to work in. Sometimes you have to go down on your knees to clean and take out items that are there in the drain. He said, Hazrat, I'll clean all the drains. He said, Mawlana Tanvi told him, this will be even worse. Even worse this is, because now people will think that you are an even bigger buzruk. So now, Hazrat Tanvi asked him, what should we do? So he said, Hazrat, you tell me what I should do. Now Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullah is correcting the person, he's making him think, teaching us something, that when it comes to akhlaq, we have to use our mind all the time. All the time we got to be thinking, and how we should be thinking, we should be thinking, if I was in the next man's position, how would I like it if this person behaved like the way I am behaving? So now he's getting him to think even further. So he tells this person that, how strange, you commit the error and you're asking me to think of a solution. You must think of the solution. So then he replies to Maulana, he says, okay, what I'll do, the worst type of punishment you can get in a khanka is you can get expelled from there. He said, Hazrat, I'll get expelled for the sake of this sin, or the sake of this mistake that I've made. And what I'll do is I'll go to Jalalabad. Then Maulana Tanvi rahmatullah said, right, now you're thinking correctly. And he was very happy for him to go to Maulana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi. And then he had written a letter and he had taken it and gone to Hazrat Maulana Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi. Now whilst he was there, Maulana Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi was also working on him and correcting him. And from there he wrote a letter back to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, that I apologize for this mistake I made. And what mistake he made? He went and sat right next to one person that was making zikr or dua. Can you imagine how they would teach people that you have to be advanced in the way you think. Tomorrow you'll be an alim. Tomorrow you'll be a senior person. If you are not considerate about these simple things, how are you going to be considerate about other things? And we should ask ourselves that when we park, do we think, are we causing any inconvenience to anybody else? When we are hooting, or we're having programs, or we're having functions at home, or when we are having any type of situation or any type of get together where we can be harming or inconvenienced, ask ourselves, do we think like this? So this is how far these pious people would think. And when it comes to the parents also, unfortunately, many parents complain that my child is gone out till late at night, I can't sleep until he's back. They're not realizing, they think, I'm not harming my father, I'm not harming my mother. What difficulty am I causing them by me going out till late at night? We don't realize that psychological trauma that we're causing them by us just being out till late at night. So this is something which is very, very important. Therefore, Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullah made such a big issue out of it, although in our minds we may think it's a small issue, teaching us that when it comes to the psychological welfare, we have to think about the next person. We have to be very, very considerate. Anyway, coming back to this ayat. So now, he tells Dawud alayhi salam, or they tell Dawud alayhi salam, that don't fear. خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْتِتْ وَهْدِنَا إِلَى سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ. That we are two litigants, we are two disputants. One of us has oppressed the next. One partner has oppressed the next partner. And then they're advising Dawud alayhi salam that, wala tushtit, that don't overstep the mark. First they say, fahkum bainana bilhaq, that you give the ruling, that we got a dispute, we got a problem, that you give the ruling. We are learning from this ayat of the Quran. One thing is that when there is a dispute and there is a way, there is always a way to work around it. And the first step that we want is فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ. We want haq to prevail. It is not my ego that must prevail. It is not my pride. It is not my reputation. It is not my respect at stake that should prevail. But it's haq that should prevail. So the first thing they say, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ. The next thing they're saying, وَلَا تُشْتِتْ. Don't overstep the mark. Why? Because very often in a business dispute, parties can overstep the mark. Why? Because there's a lot of emotion involved. So because of this emotion and outside factors that come in, it is very easy to overstep the mark. And we know of so many incidents where people overstep the mark and they went to do such foolish things with a person that was a partner of theirs for so many years. So wala tushtit wahdina ila sawa'is sirat, that guide us to the right and the straight path. Inna hadha akhi. Now look how beautifully he is introducing his partner. He said, inna hadha akhi, this partner of mine is my brother. He's not saying he's my opponent, he's my litigant, that he's my brother. So ulama explain that when you want to solve a problem, then don't look at the opposition as your enemy. Look at him as your brother. When you've looked at him as your brother, you've already won 50% of the battle. Already you're coming to some type of compromise, some type of solution by looking at this person as your brother. Now he goes on to explain, لَهُ تِسْعُ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَ, that he has got 99 ewes, 99 sheep. وَلِيَ نَعْجَةُ وَاحِدَةً, I've got one. فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. He's asking me to hand over that one to him also. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. And he's more overpowered. He's overpowering in speech. And this often happens that in a dispute, you'll always get one party. Very often you'll get one party that is more influential, that has got more clout, has got more power, has got more muscle, whether it be financial or whether it means influence. So one party generally will have a more power. So the ayat of the Quran is warning us, is teaching us and telling us that this, wa'azzani fil khitab, that this doesn't mean that you are right. Because the very next ayat, after that, Dawud alayhi salam is explaining to them. قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَدِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِ. That you have oppressed. It doesn't matter whether you got that extra clout, whether that extra speech, that influence you got. You have oppressed your brother. قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَدِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِ. By asking him for that one sheep that he's got, that one ewe. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. Yeah, Allah Pak is mentioning to us something very interesting. That many, many, many partners, they oppress their partners. كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ, they overstep the mark. Except, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. Except those people that have iman and they have do the righteous acts, they have amal saliha in their life. وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. And Allah Pak is mentioning they are very, very few. Partnership is such a thing. Allah Pak mentions in a hadith, Qudsi, أَنَا ثَالِثُ الشَّرِيكَيْنِ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبًا. That I am the third partner in a partnership, so long as one partner doesn't deceive the other partner. In other words, this one partner is acting in the welfare of the next partner. Allah Pak is saying that I am the third partner in that partnership. فَإِذَا خَانَهُ خَرَجْتُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمَا. If one partner now deceives, he acts against the interest of one partner, of the next partner. Allah Pak says in this hadith, Qudsi, خَرَجْتُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمَا. I exit this partnership. In other words, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves this partnership. The barakah that should be found in the partnership leaves the partnership. Therefore, partnership is such an important entity. If a person is thinking of getting into a partnership, the first thing he should do is make mashwara. Very quickly, this was an incident not too long ago where there are two families. Big families, and it was a big dispute. Multi-million rand dispute in terms of the legal fees that were spent. And upon arbitration, the representatives of both families were telling me that our father told us 20 years ago that don't go into this partnership. Our father told us 20, and then other party, the representative said, our father also told us 20 years ago, don't go into this partnership, but we didn't think taking mashwara for this was something serious. 20 years later, when there's so much of acrimony, there's so much of hatred, there's so much of dislike, there's so much of money being spent on legal fees, now we're realizing that in this matter we should make mashwara. We should have made mashwara with our seniors. So this mashwara is something that is very, very important. Now one more hadith I'll mention, time is against us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an estate dispute had come in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he cautioned the parties. It often happens in a dispute where one party gets a very good advocate. Now he thinks to himself that I got a good advocate, I can spin this case in my favor, and he feels proud of it. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in this hadith we learn, Abu Dawud Sharif riwayat, when the estate dispute had come in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells both parties before giving the verdict, he said, innama ana basharun, that verily I am a human being. Wa innakum tahtasimuna ilayya wa la'alla ba'dakum ay yakuna alhana bi hujjatihi min ba'd. That you people bring your disputes to me, and some of you are more eloquent, are more articulate in the way you present the case. I am a human being. وَأَنَا أَقْضِي بِنَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعُ مِنْهُ. And I give verdict according to what I hear, according to the case that is presented to me. That's the verdict I give. فَمَنْ قَضَيْتُ لَهُ بِحَقِّ أَخِيهِ فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. And when I give a verdict in favor of one party, but I'm taking away the right of the other party, then he should not take one inch from them. Even who's giving the verdict? Rasulullah ﷺ, not the High Court, not the Supreme Court. Rasulullah ﷺ is giving the verdict, and he's saying, this party that I've given the verdict in favor, he shouldn't take one inch from there. Why? إِنَّمَا أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِّن نَارُ. وكما قال عليه السلام, that I have actually apportioned and given him a portion of Jahannam. He's happy that he's got something, I've given him a portion of Jahannam. So when Nabi ﷺ mentioned it to these two Sahaba that came with that estate dispute, they began to weep and they began to cry like babies. And each one is saying, haqqi lak, that whatever right I had in this matter, you take it. And the other one saying, you take it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then showed them a four-step approach to dissolve any financial dispute. A very, very easy to dissolve any partnership, to dissolve any company, to dissolve any situation where people are working together. A very easy and amicable way of dissolving it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amma idha fa'altuma ma fa'altuma. If you people want to do what you want to do, each person is willing to give up his right, you want to come to some amicable solution. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, step number one, faqtasima. To take this estate now and divide it amongst yourself into two parts. So first thing you do is take it and divide it into two parts. So if there's three partners, there'll be three parts, four partners, four parts, like that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, first get your paperwork right, get your figures right, divide it correctly. The second thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَتَوَخَّيَا الْحَقِّ. You two people apply your minds, because after you try and divide that company, after you try and divide that estate, after you divide that property or whatever it may be that's involved, after you try and divide, there'll still be grey areas. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, apply your mind. What you want haq to prevail. Apply your mind to the best of your ability. Step number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fastahima. Now who's going to take which part? You have divided it, but maybe two people want to take part A and or both want to take part B. Who's going to take which part of this division that you have done? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed a very, very easy solution. Fastahima, draw lots. And whichever lot comes in your favor, you take that happily. And the next thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Summat tahala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then thereafter what you should do? Each party ask the next party for maaf. That's it. Each party ask the next party for maaf. When each party asks the next party for maaf, then automatically what happens now? The heart is clean. Remember something, a person is able to take your wealth away, but nobody can steal your taqdeer. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. Allah Pak is saying, in the skies is your risk. وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. What Allah Pak has promised you, that is in the skies. Person can steal your wealth, but he'll never steal your taqdeer. If a person opens his heart out and he gives, Allah Pak will return many, many, many more fold to him. Hazrat Mawlana Alimiya Rahmatullah Ali, very great Alim. Alim such that he was accepted not only in the Asian world, in the subcontinent, but he was also accepted in the Arab world. To such an extent of acceptance Allah Pak had given him, that when he had passed away, Salat al-Ghaib, Salat that is performed in absentia, is not according to us, according to our mazhab, we don't do it, but according to their mazhab, they performed Salat in absentia. Both the harams, they had performed Salat in absentia for him. And he was not of an Arab origin, he was of Indian origin. But yet that respect that they had given him, so such acceptance Allah Pak had given him. So he mentioned, if anybody wants that in his progeny, deen must remain, then he should have these three qualities in his life. And often we have struggling and we are battling our own lives to see how money can remain in our progeny. But here what he's saying, how deen can remain in our progeny, I'll end on this. So he explains that the first quality we should have is silatul rahim. All the time we should try and maintain family ties. When a person has got this quality, this first quality, he maintains family ties, Allah Pak will cause deen to remain in that progeny. The next quality that the person needs to have is akli halal. All the time he's ensuring that he's eating halal. All the time he's ensuring that he's eating halal. And the next thing he mentioned is that if a person, kun mazluman karima, that a person, if need be, you rather be the oppressed. If there's a dispute, you rather come out as the oppressed. Don't ever come out as the oppressor. You come out as the oppressed, rather you be the oppressed person. It doesn't matter, Allah Pak will give you much more. But what Allah Pak in favor will do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause deen to remain in your progeny. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of settling all our disputes amicably. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing these qualities in our life, bringing the quality of making riayat, consideration, and thinking about the welfare of the next person at every level. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this beautiful deen that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.